Everybody ready? Come on, let's go.
The Rick Flair Show! Let's go! The Rick Flair Show! Let's go!
Hey, yo, what's up? Welcome to the show. My name's Rick Thorne. On this episode, I got David Stowe. He owns, created, and runs his own watch company, actually one of the best watch companies in the world, in my opinion, called Venon Watches. We're going to talk to him right now about how he started his company, what's coming up with his brand, and what it takes to run your own business, all right? And I'd like to say this before we get started. I hope everybody's staying safe out there during this whole coronavirus pandemic. It's a crazy time we live in, but everybody, let's stay positive, all right? And let's keep moving forward. Okay, we're going to give David a call right now. Let's do this.
Hey, you there?
My man, what are you doing?
I am taking a break on the couch.
What else are you going to do during the quarantine, man?
Well, I just organized my junk drawer, my box of cables, and now I'm putting off doing taxes. So I'm going to lay here and talk to you for a minute.
Well, you know what I'm going to do before we get started, don't you? Check this out.
What's up?
Crack open a monster, bro. Yeah, I'm plugging it. What up? Oh, I'm getting all hyped up, you know? I'm fucking drinking all this monster, getting hyped up, staying inside. But you know me, I ain't staying inside. You know that.
Yeah.
I got a ride.
I did go out for a little bit yesterday, and I noticed there was a lot of porta potties out and about, so that's kind of cool. In case you are out and you have to take a dump, that's kind of awesome. Because, you know, every time you go out, it was never a bathroom, so it's kind of neat.
I know.
There's a silver lining to all this mess.
It is. Do you think that's also for the homeless?
I mean, that's what it's for, clearly. It's for the homeless who are not shitting in the streets. So, but, yeah, I was just like, oh, that's rad. So if you're out and you're like, oh, I gotta go. There's one.
I was at MacArthur Park yesterday, right, riding this ledge. And the place smelled so incredibly bad. It kind of, yeah, you can't go to the restroom all the time. It's toxic, you know what I mean? It just stinks, you know what
yeah.
I mean? We didn't.
You went in somewhere to take a leak, or you just leaked outside?
No, I was down there riding around. I just wanted to check out the scene, and I was getting some exercise. I wanted to ride this ledge, just see what it's like down there near downtown. There's so many people out, so many cops are out, so many people pulled over. I mean, there was like a tremendous amount of cops out. It was. I got kind of bugged out and I left. You know, I was just.
Oh,
like,
you mean down? You said downtown. I thought you were still in Hollywood. The downtown you were back
there. Yeah, there's a ledge out there. There's a MacArthur Park. We used to ride there a lot. Whatever.
Yeah, it's amazing. Downtown, they're going through this whole, gentrification cleanup process, but it still smells like piss. So I don't know how much money you can throw at it, but it's still going to smell like piss for a while. So I'll be amazed when they figure out how to make downtown not smell like this. So.
Yeah, well, it wasn't exactly. It was almost downtown, but they're not gentrifying this area. It didn't look like. You know what I'm saying? Like it just.
Okay.
Yeah, like my point is that like those porta potties. I don't know why they hadn't done those a long time ago, because you're riding down the street and like for a block you're just holding your breath because it just reeks horribly like piss. You know what I mean? It's disgusting.
I didn't mean to say gentrify. I meant more like revitalize.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. They're not really kicking anybody out downtown. They're just going, oh, the building's empty. We should do something to it. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, the porta potties are important, dude, because, like, you get, you know, yeah. Anyhow, I didn't call you to talk about fucking porta potties, bruh. But it's a good topic. I think it's a good topic that everyone should. They should have porta potties everywhere because you got to take a piss, man. You know what I mean? You can't go in the store unless you buy something. You know what I mean? You got to get token. And, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and all this stress, though, man. I'm stress eating, stressing out, and I'm just pooping constantly. So it's kind of good if I am out, like taking a walk. I'm like, oh god, I gotta go. Stress poop. It's like there's a porta potty. So
wait, you're saying that this stress is making you want to take a dump all the time?
No, I'm half serious. But I've been eating like a pig, so yeah. I think I'm pooping like five times a day now. Pretty boss. Yeah.
I bet you that's why everybody that's awesome, dude. I bet you at least you're regular, bro. You're not gonna be backed up. But like, dude, that's probably why everybody was tripping on that toilet paper. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You know what? As I was taking a dump yesterday, I was thinking about that. And I was like, man, I've been blowing through some toilet paper. And I was like, that's why everybody's buying toilet paper. They're like, you know what? I'm going to stress eat. I'm going to eat shit that I shouldn't be eating. And I'm just going to be pooping nonstop. And then that's it. And then as I just blew through a whole roll of like a 24-pack in a week, I was like, all right, that's why I started freaking out.
Exactly. I started to go down to like, okay, I'm using like 3 squares to wipe with, right?
That's why I started using wet wipes. You got to use the wet wipes. Yeah, you got to use the wet wipes. The wet wipes is great for finishing. I love that. It's like the finishing touch. Yeah, you gotta be careful though when you recycle the toilet pieces, like you're saying, because if it's too thin, you fold over, you might actually puncture through and then you'll stick a finger up your butthole. So you gotta be careful about that.
You got to, bro. You got to. And can you reuse baby wipes? Like, can you rinse them out and reuse them?
Oh no, I would not. Yeah, I would use it.
You can always, you get desperate. You're down to the count. You know,
someone out there has. Like one of those my shade victims where they're like, yeah, they're so frugal that they rinse off their paper towels. I'm sure someone out there is rinsing out their wet wipes and reusing them. Gross.
Yeah, ah. You put them out to dry and then get them a little wet next time. Good, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyhow, toilet paper, porta potties, wet wipes, it's all good, bro. What else is new? What's going on with Van and Watches, bro? What are you doing? What's going on?
Today, what am I working on today? Today I was playing around with a new watch for Hyman in March. I was playing around with that. I gotta send that off for approval. Looks pretty good. And then I put in an order for new stuff for Neil Blinder with DNS and new stuff for Bauhaus. And then what else?
So anyone listen out there, David owns Venom Watches, which is like, what would you describe your watch company? I hate that. It's like someone saying, what kind of band sound like,
No, I mean, the easiest explanation is Venom is like Swatch for a new generation of collectors. That's it. Or a different generation of collectors. Vanon is just like a counterculture version of Swatch. It's, bands, artists, comic books, movies, TV shows, stuff that Swatch would never really touch. They have been over the couple of years. They started doing stuff with, certain properties. But, they just kind of, I don't want to say missed their mark on some stuff, but they've missed a lot of really great opportunities to collaborate with, people out there with brands and artists and properties that, would be really good for them or really good for, fun for the fans and collecting. And I wouldn't say I necessarily noticed that years ago. I grew up in the 80s. I was a fan of what Swatch was doing. I loved watches and, no one, when I started my company, no one was doing watches. Everyone was doing toys and t-shirts and, posters, and I was like, why is no one doing watches? It's crazy. And I was like, well, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do that watch company that I always wanted to do. And that's how I started. I took my love of watch, what they did with fashion, pop culture, action sports, lifestyle, and I took that love of watch and did it my way with my thing with artists, designers, bands, TV shows, and properties. So that's where I am now. And yeah, just been in the big order for a lot of new stuff, and we also got some skateboard decks coming in, it'll be fun, some enamel pens, and yeah. So I didn't tell you everything, but I got a couple other surprises in there too that I think are gonna hit people sideways, which will be fun. So I'm excited. It's weird. It's like I've got so many watches and boards, enamel pens locked in right now to come in over the next couple of months. It's kind of a bummer because, we're in this whole coronavirus scare, and it's a weird time. So I think I'm gonna I think I'm going to try to do something fun with all these watches where there's charities involved or, like, benefits or, you know, there's some other purpose behind it. I mean, I've always been very generous with the bands and the artists that I work with, but I think I want to be able to do a little bit more now, maybe even, you know, work with this idea that I've had for a while, and, you know, more so kind of playing with is, you know, doing a lot of charity watches for certain causes. Maybe make that my charity thing as opposed to this stuff, because I'm already really generous with the bands and the properties and stuff that I work with. So maybe switch gears and, you know, do the charity thing instead. Anyway, I'm just rambling. But yeah, lots of great shit coming up. Vanden is fun. I enjoy it. I've been doing it for 10 plus years now. I'm excited that it's still around. I'm so excited that people, you know, enjoy it, that you know, collect it, that, you know, buy the stuff, that support me. Sad. I'm very, very, I don't want to say lucky, because I set out to do this with all the right reasons and the right, you know, with hearts and with meaning and with purpose. So I'm lucky that it's still going, but I'm also very grateful. I'm grateful that people, you know, get it and they understand why I do it. And I'm glad to still be here. So
for sure.
Yeah.
So wait, you've been doing this company for how many years?
I think it's 12 years now, maybe? 12 years, yeah.
That's a long time. Well, what gave you the motivation to start? You know, I always say, want to inspire people out there to start a brand or a company or do their thing. What was it for you?
The thing that inspired me to start my own company was working a job that absolutely made me miserable. And I knew that if I didn't make an effort to kind of push myself to this uncomfortable zone of, you know, starting a company and starting a business. I knew if I didn't do that, the pain that I was enduring working for this company would be worse than the pain I would experience trying to grow as starting a company, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does.
I was just so miserable where I was like, you know, I can take this beating all day long and work with people that are, you know, ego-driven, and sabotaging these projects that we're working on, or I can just, you know, create a goal and push myself to grow over the course of a year and a half, to learn about, you know, all the, you know, ins and outs of starting a company and running a business. And that's what I did. I was like, okay, I'm miserable here at this day job. And you know what? The light in the tunnel is you have money saved up. Your life has kind of brought you all these amazing relationships with artists and designers and people and bands and the labels and things like that. And I think I have the resources to start a company. And it's going to be weird, and I'm going to have to tighten my belt, but I'm going to be happy, because where I'm at now, I'm unhappy. And I'm going to have to, it's going to be painful in certain ways, but it's going to be painful for the better. So getting out of that day job is what pushed me to start a company. And, I've been doing it for 12 years ever since. Yeah. And you know, running a company is hard, man. It's tough. The easy thing to do is to go back and get a day job. But, you know, it's weird. Moving to California, it was the first time I ever experienced working with people where, there was ego involved in a lot of projects, and people were sabotaging this stuff, and I was like, you know what, this is terrible, I'm going to get out. And it was hard, but I think I planned this thing out right, and I did it with the right intentions and, you know, with the right heart and the right, you know, goal behind it, the right experience behind it, and I've been lucky that people have gotten behind it and get it, support it, and I'd probably still be miserable if I didn't start my company. I mean, I'm still miserable sometimes. but that's just living in Los Angeles. No, I would still be miserable if I was working a day job, because, yeah, there were so many egos involved in that atmosphere, and they were sabotaging projects because things were done without foresight on their part. And that's how I've always designed and developed stuff with Bannon. And those dudes just didn't know it. I was like, you know what, I'm out. This is stupid. So Vanna's good, and I'm, you know, doing good considering all the stuff that's going on in the world right now, and just trying to stay positive and, you know, take care of myself and stay happy.
Well, you, you got to stay positive and you got to keep your head up. Name some of the bands again that you've worked with. What are some of the ones that you're really proud of? Even though you're probably proud of all of them, but which ones you're really stoked on?
I think The Descendants was the one, and to this day is always the one where I still pinch myself and go, wow, I can't believe that happened. And I can't believe I can email them and get projects going and, I can't even put it into words. I'm supposed to be just like, it's like, you're such great dudes. And that's the one that really just kind of blew my mind. I feel, like I said, giddy just even trying to, put it into words how often to work with those guys. And, Lagwagon, this guy's great. There's so many bands that are really amazing to work with. I'm very blessed and grateful that so many of these people in the scene are so great. And people wonder why I work with a lot of punk bands. And if we, I'll tell you, everybody here on the record, the reason why I work with all the punk bands is because they're always really fucking cool and down to earth, and they're all DIY, and they understand that that Vanon isn't anything in punk rock and anything DIY is not going to be a huge moneymaker, but it's going to be fun, and the money that we do make is going to be great, and it goes back into supporting their project and my project and et cetera. So there's, a lot of the punk bands that I work with, and more surprisingly recently, Dalhouse, hanging out with those guys and getting to know them, and they're super cool. They were incredible, accessible people. And that one is another dream come true. They're up there with the Descendants, where it's like, wow, I am putting out watches for Bauhaus. I would never see it. And Neil Blinder, as far as working with GNS with Neil Blinder, that's another one that I would have never in a million years imagined. And that's even cool for me, especially because I come from skateboarding background. Neil Blinder, his board, his art, his style, his influence on skateboarding is, one of my biggest inspirations along with, the Descendants. So it's like, it's great to kind of be working with my idols and, having access to the people and having relationships with them and, getting stoked about putting out cool products,
Yeah, dude. You gotta be stoked. I mean, those are great bands, and you're absolutely right. The DIY factor in the punk rock scene is definitely, what you gotta do to make it work. What was the first watch that you ever did with who? With what band?
Van essentially the first, because, okay, how do I say this? Van is like an artist driven watch company. It's only been over the past 6 years I've been doing more band related stuff. But in the beginning it was all artist driven stuff. And I started doing the artist-driven stuff, not attached to any properties or music or anything like that. It was just original art from these artists. I wanted to work with them because I knew so many of them, and I heard horror stories about how they were getting fucked over by, certain art, design, lifestyle companies out there that would just pay them pennies on the dollar for their work, and then the company would be making thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and these artists would get $50 or $100. So I was like, fuck that. That's so weak. So one of the things about starting Vanon was it was a artist-driven, artist-friendly, pro-artist, experience. So when people bought the product, a huge portion of the percentage of the sales would go to the artist. And that's why I started the company, because so many of my friends were getting fucked over at the time. And now that, a lot of bands don't make a lot of money off of physical record sales anymore, it's great to now be contributing to their, to their livelihood by selling a piece of merch, a unique, functional, collectible watch. I mean, birthday watch. And so it's great to kind of give them a good look and good percentage, give them product and kind of give their fans something, awesome to wear and enjoy, because, you can only wear your Descendants shirt, you know, so many times, or, you know, like you can't take your Descendants record out in the world and be like, look at this record, it's amazing. You know, but you can wear a watch to some of the and be like, oh shit, that's cool, that's a Descendants watch, you know. So, it's first was artists and then bands and artists, and then I dabbled a little bit of TV stuff and TV shows stuff that was artists, and now I'm doing watches for Star Trek, which is pretty exciting. I haven't really told anybody about that. So, watches for Star Trek, and that'll be announced really soon. And that's going to be a lot of artist-driven stuff, and that'll be fun. And then,
Have you ever done any movies watches? Star Trek's technically was a series, then it was movies too. But like, I started thinking like Road Warrior watch or Mad Max or some shit.
No.
Bruce Lee.
I do have the right to do Star Trek movie watches, and that's something that I want to do. And I'm going to explore. We're just going to do a lot of artist-driven stuff with Star Trek that is really cool, but it's very time-intensive to do it right. And so they'll probably be the first movie watches I'll do since I have access to it.
But you do a limited run of watches too, just letting the people know, like you only make a certain amount, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the most you've ever done on a certain one run of watches is 500. Even that's still super limited. But for the most part, it's 150 watches to 300 at the most these days, you know. And, you know, we try to do autograph packaging or, you know, autograph packaging by people in the bands or by the artists that are involved in the property or involved in the project. So I always try to, you know, include some kind of fun incentive for people to get stoked about the watches when they come out. So, and we'll probably do stuff like that with Star Trek and Adolescence and Bauhaus and Neil Blender and all the other shit that's coming up. Oh, 7 Seconds. Yeah, 7 Seconds coming out.
Those
are rad.
Sick.
Yeah, so I'm fulfilling everything, but there's a lot of cool shit coming up, and it'll be fun.
Yeah, it's cool, and you know, I guarantee those Star Trek watches are going to go quick, bro. I mean,
It should be fun because they're all going to be. They're really look really. I'll show them to you next time I see you. They look really really cool, and I'm stoked for people to have, you know, nice Star Trek watches.
Yeah, I hear you. So I got the Iron Maiden watch too. You did a few different designs with Iron Maiden, right?
Yeah, the original Iron Maiden. There was supposed to be a whole series of. I think like almost 10 watches, but they kind of did me dirty and just kind of just cut it short before they cut me at watch 4 before we were got to all the really good stuff. And it was a total bummer, but it was a good lesson that, you know, just get out what I can before someone kind of meddles and gets involved and kind of shuts the thing down. But the Maiden stuff was fun. Maiden was kind of up there with the level of excitedness that I had with Descendants, because I loved Maiden as a kid and Derek Riggs and, you know, his artwork, and Derek Riggs' artwork is as a portal to the music. It's one of those instances where the music is just as incredible as the artwork, you know. So the Iron Maiden fans were incredible when it came to making these watches and giving them a cool product and, you know, getting them stoked and meeting stoked. They were stoked. And then, you know, meeting Derek Riggs, the Iron Maiden artist, and meeting his wife and, you know, hanging out with them, getting them to sign stuff and getting them excited about, you know, the stuff. And Iron Maiden was great, and there was going to be a lot more watches that they just kind of, their management, was just like, yeah, we're not really into watches. We want to do other stuff. And I was like, well, we got a year left to make more stuff. They're like, yeah, we don't care. We're done. I was like, okay. So I guess we're not going to do the Power Slave watch. We're not going to do the Live Past Death. We're not going to do the crazy shit, you know. I had all this amazing stuff happen for Maiden, and it was a total bummer that they just kind of like just chilled it out of nowhere. Bizarre, but whatever. I mean, that's business, and that's collaborating with people. It's like relationships. Sometimes you wake up and the person, you know, you're person dating just goes, nah, I don't want to do this anymore. And you're like, what? And then you just move on. So.
Yeah, it's like when new people come in the scene and they want to be the shot caller and say what's, yeah, I get it. It's like when you get,
yeah,
it's like was, I've seen that happen. Like, I've seen that happen with TMs before. Like the new team managers come in, they're like, nah, yeah, you,
sure,
get rid of these guys sure. So I look good to my boss. Yeah. And it's like, you're like, wait, what? Like, wait, I've been here 10 years. You just kind of walked in here. Like, what? Like, you tripping, dog?
That is, it's funny that happened to me. When I was skateboarding, I used to ride for Vans. Vans was my shoe sponsor, and that happened. We had a team manager change, and they're like, "Yeah, we don't need those people in the South," because I was in the Southeast. So I'm like, "Yeah, we don't need people down there." I was like, "What are you talking about?" I go to all these concerts and kind of concerts that are good, contests and demos, and you know, I rank it all. I win and I'm second place. I'm doing all this shit. And I'm like, "What are you doing?" Yeah, this was the first time from a business side where I was like, "Oh, okay." Yeah, it's weird, but it's like you can't control it, you just move on. But it was a bummer because so many Maiden fans were coming out going, when's the next one? And I just had to bite my tongue and be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just kind of pulled the chair off from underneath me and it was over, and it is what it is.
Yep.
But yeah, there's more cool shit coming up that I think people will be stoked on, and got a couple other really good hard rock and metal bands that should be, you know, wrapping up here pretty soon, and I can talk about those later. So
yeah,
that'll be dope.
No, I'm excited for you. What about you did a Public Enemy watch?
Yeah, I should mention, because when I grew up skateboarding, I grew up on hip hop and punk rock and metal. So doing Public Enemy was another one where it was like, you know, that was another dream project I never saw coming. And to meet Chuck D and hear him say, you know, thank you for doing this. These are amazing. The fans love it. And, you know, just kind of, you know, how to body experience moment where I'm like, oh my gosh, Chuck D is one of my favorite rappers of all time. It's like, this is awesome. I'm like, oh my God. And I would say 95% of everybody I work with has been amazing. And And that makes a huge difference when there's collaboration in there, because I left my job. You know, I left that day job because people couldn't collaborate and egos were involved. And, you know, I got not necessarily that freedom back, but I got to work with people in this project called Ganon. I got to work with collaborators that aren't ego-driven. And the ones that are ego-driven, I just walk away from. You know, and it's not an ego thing where I'm trying to get my way or whatever. It's just that I don't want to deal with that. I don't want your ego to jeopardize a project. I'm just going to walk away. You know, so I'm very lucky to work with people that are all grounded, for the most part, grounded, and just great to work with. So, except you, you're difficult.
Yeah, I'm a pain in the ass. Yo, I heard when you called the Public Enemy headquarters, you're like, dee, dee, dee. And you're like, ring. And he's like, yeah, what's up? And you're like, hi, my name's David. I'm going to do a Public Enemy watch. And Flavor was like, yeah, boy. I had to, dude. I had to. Did you meet Flavor? Yeah, chick, chick, yeah. Did you get to meet Flavor Flav too, or no?
No, I didn't meet him.
Yeah, that's cool. Chuck D's the man too. That's cool. I'm trying to think. You also did like a Rancid watch. All the homies, man. You did like a bunch of cool stuff. Blondie.
Yeah.
How'd you get in touch with Blondie, man? I love Blondie. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I forgot to go Aquabats. Aquabats was another good one that was really, the fans were amazing, and the watch turned on great, the art experience was great for that. Blondie was a weird one. It's funny, some people ask me, how do these collaborations happen? And sometimes I'll go after people through like a random email or a direct message through Twitter or Instagram, or, you know, it'll be through friends, through homies. And then sometimes with Blondie, you just wake up and there's an email from their merch company going, hey, you know, we saw this thing. I think you'd be, you know, good for, you know, this would be like a good collaboration. It's like, oh, okay, great. You know, and that's how Blondie came about. And, I'd already had a relationship with Shepard Ferry, who did the artwork for the cover. And so it was kind of like this serendipitous moment where he and I, you know, he grew up in Charleston, South Carolina, and that's where I'm from. We grew up skateboarding together in the same area, but he went away to Rhode Island for RISD. But anyway, we hung out briefly skateboarding in South Carolina, had a rapport with mutual friends here. And
so oh, wait, so you guys, were from the same scene?
Yeah.
Oh, I never knew that. So that's cool.
Yeah, so it was kind of cool that the universe brought us back together through this Blondie project, and it was fun to get the blessing. And it's actually really funny. I've never really told anybody this story, but when I first started Vannon, I reached out to him with a mock-up of the Obama art that he did as a watch, and I showed it to him, and I was like, hey, I'm thinking of starting this watch company. What do you think of that? And he was like, oh, my God, do it. And I did that for a few people that I was interested in working with and collaborating with, and I was like, this is something I'm thinking. And not one person was like, don't do it. I think this is, you know, definitely do this thing. It's great. All these designs look amazing. And that kind of helped me get forward, go forward with the project. But, you know, reconnecting with Shepherd through Blondie was great. It kind of brought everything back full circle because I didn't end up doing the Obama watch. It was, there was some stuff behind that. So I couldn't really do it. And then coming back to Blondie was great. And, you know, it was amazing. Blondie signed a bunch of boxes. I didn't get to meet them, but they signed a bunch of stuff, and the fans were stoked on that. And, yeah, that was another one that was on my list. It's like, okay, that's kind of great. You know, that's another one that I never would have asked for, you know. So,
well,
yeah, it's looking, and Rancid was great, too. Who else? Yeah, Rancid, I mean, I love in our circle of friends, Rancid, Aquabats, Descendants, who else? Southern California. So
you did Mark Hoppus's watch too, right?
Yeah, I do a lot of stuff for Mark Hoppus's clothing company called Hyman. My name is Mark. Mark's great. He's always fun to work with. Always down to do stuff. Very generous with his time. So yeah, stuff with Hyman and Mark. Hyman is not so fun, and the fans are super nice, and they're just really passionate. That's great. And yeah, and then some stuff with Blink. I haven't done anything with Blink in a while. Might be some stuff soon. There's some other stuff coming up. But yeah, everybody else is doing great. Everyone's doing great, man. I'm really, really, really lucky. I haven't had one where I was, you know, one of them. I haven't had any where I wanted to, you know, murder anyone. So really.
Well, it sounds like you've been able to produce a rad product with like bands that you admire. That like it's kind of rad to say you're not like. You don't have like these, you know, you've been able to pick and choose which ones you like and what you don't like. And like, that's kind of rad that you're putting out the stuff you actually, that you dig. And that's cool. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you have a bunch of other bands. I don't know if you do or not, but like, you're not putting out stuff. There's like bands you're not really feeling and you're just doing it for the money. You're like, no, I really like this band. That's what I like about it. You know,
I did that like twice. Years ago, and it was. I think the projects are referred to as utility projects. It's kind of like a play on you take the paycheck to keep the lights on.
Got it.
I took those two watch jobs, and I didn't regret doing it, but I felt bummed about it. But you know, I tried to look at it as a way to reach a new fan base or reach a new like demographic of, you know, music people. Because a lot of these bands, a lot of these crowds and bands and artists and properties, they kind of cross-pollinate. There are people like, you know, like, for example, Chris Sherry, who does a lot of work with Descendants and his wife, Lori. I mean, they, you know, they're intertwined in this punk rock world, but they love Star Trek, you know? And I'm sure there's a lot of other punk rock people out there that love Star Trek, you know? So it's going to be great to, it's cool that I'm still kind of aware of this kind of this overlap in all these properties. I'm still aware of it as much as it's grown. I'm still aware of this overlap, and I know these properties that I'm picking and working with overlap, and they kind of, the crowds or like the fan bases will dig some of the other stuff that I'm working on. So it's weird. Some of it seems like it is. I try not to take those money jobs anymore.
No, I got you.
I try to take this. I started turning down people more, which is a bummer because I would want to make stuff, but I have turned down stuff that I just couldn't do.
Hey, so I don't think anyone else is doing what you're doing. I can't think of anyone else that's doing what you're doing. I just really don't. I think it's cool. I think you've got your own. You've created your own thing, and it seems like your company's pretty, like, I mean, you know, outside of, like, maybe there's big, big bands that you maybe become friends with, but a lot of them, it seems real personal, DIY, you know, people you're hitting up, you're building these relationships, you're out there grinding on your own, doing it yourself. I dig it, bro. I think it's cool, bro. I really do.
Thank you. Thank you, and I appreciate your support. Yeah, there's not another, I mean, there are a lot of watch companies out there, but Swatch is named my main, I wouldn't say competitor, but they're the closest akin to what I am or what I do with my company, Vanna. There have been other watch companies out there that have tried to do art or design watches, but where they always fall short is trying to kind of capitalize on people's interest in the property, and they sell them a shitty product, a shitty quality product. And their fans, as you know, are vocal, and they'll complain about it online. And over the course of the past 10 years, I'd say almost three, there's one other competitor out there of mine, three, so I'm just going to throw them in, But they're on their way out. So I've had not really three competitors of the past 10 years, but three people out there trying to do what I do in some sense, but they've all gone out of business because it's expensive to do this, and you have to make a good product. And if you don't make a good product, like those people are doing, you're going to go out of business. And this is something I would suggest to anybody out there that wants to start a business or they have an idea that they want to do. It's like, if you're going to start a company or a business or make a product, you have to make it a good product. Like, you can trick people for a minute with, like, an emotion or, collaborating with a property, but if your product is garbage, people aren't going to buy it. And that's where my business is at. So that's why it's only Vanna and Swatch right now doing this. That makes this product that is stuff, collectible and musician and this weird shit for the fans, So yeah, I'm still, it's weird. Part of me is like, is it a good thing that I'm still in business? Am I doing this right? But there's not anybody out there like Dynamic that's just watching. It's cool to be in that company.
Yeah, dude, it's rad, and you're building your own connections, and that's what I like about it. Your own personal relationships, which is super important when you're doing anything creatively or artistic. I think is building those relationships with people that are, that you admire, that you respect, whether it's music or movies or artists or whatever. That you could it reflects you. You know what I mean? Your product reflects you. You know what I'm saying?
And now that you say that, I've been in creative mode all day, but that was the other thing about starting this company. And Vanen, the word Vanen is the Swedish word for friend, and that's what this whole project was about working with friends and making friends through the collaborations and helping friends that are a part of this project and making friends with the people that buy the watches. And if you're buying a watch and you wear it, you might make a new friend when someone sees you. And it's so cool that it's kind of, from the moment I thought that out, and the 12 years later, that's what it's been about. And
awesome.
Friends helping. Yeah, so it's been about friends and friendship. So it's had a purpose, it's lived its purpose, and it hopefully will continue to, nurture that purpose.
Well, you got to do a watch with Houdini. Friends, how many of us have them? Funny. Friends.
Yeah, I want to do more hip hop watches. I've been talking to Cool Keith. We're gonna do a watch. I'm such a huge fan of Cool Keith that I want to do it right and do it smart and do it fun. I think would be the best way to do fun because he's fun and he's quirky and bizarre, but he's a brilliant dude. So. That's another hip hop one that I want to do. Houdini would be rad. Fat Boys would be amazing.
Who? Wait, who?
Fat Boys?
Yeah, I was getting ready to say Fat Boys. Took that out of my mouth. I was getting ready to say that. What about Ice-T? Ice-T, dog.
So.
Body count.
So here's the thing. Like, I don't normally rattle off these names because I don't want anybody stealing my shit.
Then don't do it.
My hip, my hip hop list would be like Audio 2, Eric D and Rakim. What was the one you said singing? I just blanked out.
Ice T,
yeah, for sure. Ice T. Yeah, so those
Sugar Hill Gang. Oh, hip hop, hibbity hip hip, a hoppy, you don't stop, a rock. You know that one? Come on now.
I didn't want to overshadow you. You were on fire there. So
I'll just let it out, bro. You know what I'm saying? Come on, I get excited on that song, dude.
Yeah. So I hope to do more hip hop stuff this year. Fun. And then that way people aren't like, oh, you're always doing punk rock stuff. I'm like, no, look, it's more hip hop. So yeah, this year is going to be what I was lamenting about earlier. Like, this is an exciting year for me to release all this great stuff. But it's a shitty time in the world right now, so I hope the stuff, when this does come out, that people are as excited about it as I am, and that they're stoked to buy it. And I plan to keep everything affordable, and that's another thing that I started out with, you know, launching the company, was that, you know, there's so much people out there taking advantage of their collaborations and, you know, doing these limited edition collabs where they're like, all right, we're going to sell you a shirt for $125, and we're going to sell you this toy for $200. It's like, that's not affordable for the common person. So I hope this year to keep watches affordable at 65, 70 at the most, and do skateboards at 65, and, you know, do more cool shit. So it's a weird time to be alive, but I'm stoked to kind of, you know, make cool shit and hopefully keep people excited about being around and selecting and, you know, buying my stuff.
You will, dude, because you got it on point, dude. You made it this far. There's no going back. Where can people find? Well, what's the Instagram? Plug all the social media websites and all that right now.
So the website is Vannen, VannenEnWatches.com, and then all the social stuff is at Vannen Watches. Yeah,
that's Facebook and all that. It's all the
Facebook,
Twitter. It's all the
Instagram,
same.
Twitter. Yeah. That's where you find it. Ironically, though, like, the product itself is a viral product, and people wear it, other people see it, hopefully they go buy it, they get excited about it, and then everything I do, like, the only advertising I ever do is social media. Like, there's no budget to pay an influencer or pay people to, like, you know, say it's cool in a magazine. The only way Vannen gets any kind of exposure is people sharing the product and talking about it online and you posting it. It is a viral product. So, yeah, I mean, that's all it is. It's a viral product. But back to your terrible joke about coronavirus, I do want to look into doing a charity series of watches that are kind of always around that contribute to a charity. There are a lot of charities out there. They're like, yeah, we donate 10%. And, you know, it's bullshit. I want to do something really, really good where it's like, you know, we donate 100% of the profits to charity. Do something that really makes a contribution. I mean, it's not like I'm Bill Gates donating, you know, $25 billion. But it's like, I think if you're going to make a product and you're going to say you contribute to a charity, you have the ability to donate at least half, if not all, of the proceeds to charity. So I think that's what I kind of want to. I want to do something like that because I think the world's going to change here moving forward. I want to do something for, like, food banks, and then maybe, like, something where, you know, we find people in GoFundMe that are sick and we, you know, donate money to them, or, you know, cancer, or, you know, AIDS research, or, you know, lymphoma. Like, I don't know. There's so much shit out there we can kind of get behind. You know, homeless and autism and, you know, just crazy stuff. There's so much we can do. So I do want to get into, like, the philanthropy charity side of things with the product and get other people involved that are, you know, reach a whole other audience that's not punk rock or Star Trek or, you know, artists or music, and just reach a whole other crowd, you know, because I think there's potential for that.
I think you should do a watch with a porta potty on it. And all the charities go to more porta potties on the street, so me and you could take a piss.
Oh,
you know,
dude!
You know what I'm saying?
That's a
good idea. You know what I'm saying? And you could call the watch. You could call the watch. This one's called the shit. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. It sounds like a good idea.
What kind of watch is that? It's shit. That's a brilliant idea. So the box will look like a porta potty.
Yes.
The box
yeah.
Like a porta potty.
Uh huh.
And it'll be a white watch.
And it'll be on the Hollywood Boulevard sign right there, street sign. You know what I'm saying?
So it'll be like a baby blue dial with brown hands.
Yeah,
and
now you're
we'll
talking.
A toilet seat overprinted on the crystal to give it a little dimension.
And the so numbers, it looks like toilet. The numbers are rolls of toilet paper, son. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
See? For
porta potties in the street.
That watch is called the shit. That's the shit, yo. You know what I mean?
I'm glad you're good.
I love how you just brushed me off. Like, yeah, whatever. You're being stupid. Okay, anyways.
I was going back into like self-care, you know. And it's like,
I know. I'm just trying to be funny, bro.
The people that are listening to this, it's like, you know, it's a weird time to be alive, but it's also, you know, it's also an inspiring time. You know, the odds are against a lot of us, and you know, it's also a good time to. You know, to grow, to learn something new, to, you know, to challenge yourself, and also to kind of, you know, get in touch with some uncomfortable feelings and reconcile that stuff and grow and just kind of see the possibility here, you know.
There's
a lot of cool shit.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. You can always be creative and you can always... Just keep your mind on the positivity of things, and things always work themselves out. I appreciate you taking time to talk to me. I love you. I love your product. Thanks for sponsoring me. Everyone, thanks a lot for listening. And have a rad day, dude. All right, stay rad.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Okay, talk soon.
All